When it comes to our well-being and our children's well-being, social maturity has quite a big part to play in this, and it is actually a factor when it comes to mental illnesses as well. So why is it that we are not talking about this when it comes to raising our children? It is a pretty interesting topic. So we're going to talk about today. For those who don't know me, my name is Danielle C. Baker. I am the founder and CBO of Being Connected. I'm also a registered early childhood educator with over 20 years experience in the field. So I do help parents and educators help navigate the realities of what it is to raise a child. But don't get it twisted. When you're working with me, we're putting the child's needs first. So you're going to have to put the ego and pride aside. And let's get to it. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Talk to Danielle podcast. I am your host, Danielle C. Baker. And before we get started, be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And of course, with season two, this episode is brought to you by the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy with the amazing Dr. Simone Alicia. There is a wealth of resources to help with your child's self-esteem and confidence and so much more. I'm going to add the link in the description and in the comments so that you can have a look at it. It's a very, very helpful, especially with today's topic. So I'm going to jump right into it. Social maturity is not something that we hear about a lot. I mean, we know about physical maturity, obviously, as our body changes over the years. Emotional maturity is the trending thing right now. Everybody wants to know what their emotional intellect is. But social maturity actually has a very important part in our well-being, overall well-being. And it is a factor. It is in play when we talk about certain mental illnesses. So why is it that we are not talking about this? Why is it that we are not taught about this? And why is it that parents are not getting the resources for this, because this has a very, very important part in their child's life. They have a role to play in making sure that their children reach social maturity, but nobody's talking about this. So this is what it is going to be. I'm going to give you the overall, what all the different levels of maturity, and then we're going to get a little technical about what that is. There are different stages. It's something that we study in early childhood education to see where the child is in their overall development. Social and emotional development is part of early childhood education. And you're going to be shocked that this is something that we should know from birth, because it's the first 2 years of a child's life that determines their social skills. The first 2 years. And it's actually the first year that has the most impactful time. So any interaction that they have with other human beings in their first year is pretty much what's going to determine how they're going to be in later on in the adult years. So there's a lot of pressure on us for parents, and I'm going to help you through this a little bit. And once I started finding out more and studying this a lot more, I was just thinking, why are we not taught this? Why are we not talking about this instead of other things? You know, it's very important. We just assume that the social maturity happens once they're in school, and we kind of dump that on the schools, but it's already too late when they start school at five, at four. Where I am, they can even start at three. It's already too late. Their character, their social skills, the bulk of it is already anchored. And so this all happens before they even get into a social setting. It's a lot of pressure on the parent. So I'm going to walk you through it. In terms of maturity, there's five global skills, or five areas. And so we do have the physical maturity. Of course, like I was saying, it's just how your body, how the child's body matures over the years. So of course, we're familiar with that. The emotional maturity as well. So we're not going to really talk on that today. I'll make another episode about that, because that's a whole other can of worms that we'd be opening. There's a personality maturity. That's also very important. We don't talk about either. We just assume that that's our personality, but it should evolve over the years as we grow older. And then of course there's this social maturity, and it's not nothing major. But if we don't know about it, we don't realize the impact this has on a human being as they grow older. So the social maturity just basically means that you're open to challenging the values of your parents and questioning your community's values. as you kind of start as children, when you start questioning the whys, why are we doing this? Why are the rules are in place? Why? Parents tend to shut down. And I know for the older generations, we were not allowed to question the whys. We weren't allowed to question the rules and the laws of the house, if we could say it like that. But in the social maturity is we need to help our children begin to develop their own ideals, their own ethics, and their own values. What was necessary for us will not apply to the next generation. It's not the same world. They're not the same realities. So passing down our values, yes, it is important in a way for culture and religion and all of that, but it needs to evolve. And I had a great teacher that used to tell us that if there's no evolution, if nothing changes in the laws of the universe, if you're not evolving, it dies, right? That's why there's always an evolution in everything on this planet the universe in general. So if we're not willing to change our values to better suit the realities of the new generations, this is just basically that's how cultures die. So I thought that was really interesting. I was in high school at the time, but this is how, by developing this social maturity and questioning the values, questioning the ideals, questioning people's integrity and ethics, they're discovering who they are as an individual. And this can create identity issues if it's not, if they're not guided through this. And of course, as parents, we don't know this. Our parents didn't do it for us. So if you go to therapy, you'll understand with this social maturity issue, where your issues are coming from. We'll get into this. So it's very important before I go on that when I say that they're questioning the parents' values and the ideals and that, it's not a disrespectful thing. They're not disrespecting you. They're not disrespecting the family values. It's nothing like that. There's just an openness to question them, to say, why are these necessary? And are they still necessary? So to give you an example of that is, asking your parents, well, why was our curfew? That'll give you a very simple example. Why is the curfew this time? And a lot of the times in my generation, anyway, the answer was, well, that's how it was with us growing up, right? So we're carrying on our parents' values, but were they actually necessary, right? It's basically just questioning the why, so that we ourselves can start questioning and say, well, okay, so how did that serve me? If I'm just doing what my parents did to us, how did that serve me? How well did that work for me? And why would I want to pass that on to my children if it didn't work, right? So when you are nurturing and encouraging your child's social maturity, so when you're helping your child, guiding them through, just like you do with their physical maturity, just like you do with their emotional maturity, when you are nurturing and guiding your child through their social, kind of encouraging it, their social maturity, it will produce a climate of trust, harmony, active cooperation, and peaceful coexistence. Okay, so let's just picture that in terms of your family dynamic when you were growing up or your parents. When you're dealing with socially mature people, you have a climate of trust, harmony, active cooperation, and peaceful coexistence. Okay, so picture that. Is that what you had at home? Is that what you have at home presently? When you're looking at social medias, when you're looking at the shows that are out there right now, is that the climate that is being shown, right? When you are dealing with socially immature people, this produces a climate of fear, discord, confrontation, and one war after the other. Drama, basically, is what we're talking about. So think about that in terms of your family dynamic when you were growing up, whether it was in your own home or your aunties or uncles or grandparents, the neighbors, what you see on TV. Okay, so picture this now. This is where it hits hard. And this is why it's so important for parents to be aware of this is, were my parents socially mature. If you're thinking of the dynamic that was in the house and the climate of your house, was it a house that was harmonious, that you could have great conversations, if it was, even if it was about a challenge or some kind of misunderstanding? Was it peaceful, or was it just drama, 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 drama? Were you afraid to speak up? Okay, so you have to look at that. And this is where it hits hard. My parents were not socially mature, and they raised me, and now I'm passing this on to my children. If you're not aware of it, that's what happens. When you are aware of it, then you can change this and you can make life a lot easier for your child. So this is why social maturity is very important to teach at a young age, to get them ready for it anyway. So we'll get into some really technical stuff about the stages of social maturity, so you can kind of get a guideline to it, and you can just Google that up. It'll give you all, but I'll just highlight it. And if you Google it, you'll get more details about it. But when we're working with children in early childhood education, we learn these stages, and this is how we evaluate where their child is, where they are in their development. So we have to do this with social maturity, emotional maturity, physical maturity. There are different the stages. We have cognitive and intelligence as well. So the how did they learn? You know, how are they doing academically and things like that? And on the social skills, in early childhood education, we use Erikson's model. So if you look up Erikson, you'll be able to see this. On the cognitive side, you'll get Maslow. So there's a few pretty big theorists out there that we'll follow. Erikson is on the social side of things, has a pretty good I don't know how to explain it. It's just a really good model to follow in terms of where my child is, or where the child is on the scale, to see what we need to work on to kind of help and catch it early enough so that we can help them and make life easier for them. So the first stage is what they call, there's eight stages in total. So we're talking about the entire life. First stage is from birth until 18 months. It's called trust versus mistrust. So this is where in the first year and a bit of a child's life, they are entirely dependent on the adults that care for them. So this is where the trust versus mistrust, right? Depending on how the parents showed up for the child, how they catered to the child's needs, were they fed, cleaned, did they feel safe? Those are the basic needs of a child when they're growing up. Is did they feel safe? Did they feel love? Were they well fed? You know, that were they stimulated intellectually, emotionally, and everything? Were there healthy interactions with the adults around them? So that's what it is. Now, Erikson has a very interesting take on this, because what he says is basically, in order to be able to progress, to kind of graduate onto the next level, the eight stages, you need to have a conflict. There needs to be a conflict that needs to be resolved. And depending on how it's resolved, it will say either you move on to the second stage in a healthy way, or you don't change at all. And now you're stuck at that level of maturity. So if as a child, you weren't cared for properly for the first 18 months of your life, if the child was neglected, until that's resolved, that person will never reach another level of social maturity. So you can have a grown adult that is still at a social level of an 18-month-old, that's a baby, an infant. So that's where it gets interesting. So the first stage up to 18 months is your trust versus mistrust. So if the child is really cared for, or the needs are met, feels loved, feel cared for, all of that, it will grow into a social maturity level of trust. They will trust the people around them. They will trust their community. They will trust the people that they love. That's where that stems from. And then you move on from 18 months to the toddler years, 18 months to 3 years old. You reach the stage of autonomy versus shame or doubt, and doubt as well, depending on the dynamic that you have at home. The reason, the way I use that, to remind myself of what that means, autonomy versus shame, doubt, is if you look at this is a time period where you're potty training your child. This is just one example. There's so many other things that the child needs to learn. They need to learn how to walk. They need to all of that. So they're developing their autonomy, and how the adults react to that, how they handle that, will determine whether or not they will be autonomous, or are they getting shamed and questioned about their autonomy. So when you're potty training, I like to use that example, and the child has an accident, because obviously they're not going to get it right away, right? You're going to be tired, frustrated, all of that. But how are you talking to your child about this? If they're doing really well and they haven't had any accidents, and all of a sudden something happens and they have an accident, do you get mad at them? Do you tell them that they're not babies anymore? Are you shaming them about it? Or are you nurturing it and saying, it's okay, it takes time, we got you got this, we can do this together. This is what's going to determine, that's your conflict, and the conflict comes from you. Are you shaming your child throughout? Or if they're learning to drink from a cup instead of a sippy cup or a baby bottle, and they make messes, they spill their milk, they spill their food, are you being gentle with them and showing them how to clean up their mess and say, it's okay, it happens, it'll pass? Or are you getting mad at them for making a mess, for spilling the milk at an early age, right? So that's the conflict, and how is it being resolved? So now, if you were very nurturing, if the child felt loved throughout of all of this, then they become autonomous. They're going to be individuals who can figure their things out on their own, and when they're faced with new challenges, they know they can do it. Otherwise, they're going to doubt themselves, they're going to doubt their abilities, they're going to be afraid of failure, because now there's some shaming involved if they didn't build up that confidence when they were in the 18 months to 3 years old. The third stage is initiative versus guilt. So now we're talking about preschool years. This is the years where the child explores their external world. A lot of them, most of the children at that age, do go outside. They can kind of explore their environment. They will want, they'll be curious about everything. They're kind of like perfect scientists at that age. They want to try everything. They want to touch everything. If we tell them, don't touch this, you will hurt, they will want to figure it out on their own. They will want to do things on their own, but they're not quite able to yet. So as a parent, are you allowing your child to take the initiative, or are you guilting them into saying, well, why would you do that? Why would you get dirty? Why would you jump in the puddle? Why would you jump in the mud? Why you keep touching, stop touching. So if you're guilting them into wanting to explore, into learning new things, there will be some issues there, social, in their social maturity. So if you're able to do this in a peaceful environment, in a harmonious environment, in a trustful environment, these will be adults that will take initiative. They will not wait until somebody tells them to do something to actually do it. So you all know, we all know an adult somewhere that we know just doesn't have the initiative. They will never take initiative on something. It's because of that stage in life that didn't get nurtured, basically. The fourth stage is industry versus inferiority. This is a hard word for me to say, so bear with me. So it's industry versus inferiority. And that we're talking about school age years, 6 to 11 years old. So now these children that were open to exploration, curious minds, are now being asked to sit still and listen and fit in a box. There's the conflict. So, now we got to be cookie cutters. We have to be good boys and good girls. We have to have good grades. We have to be great at everything we do. We need to be respectful. We need to clean up after ourselves. We need to do this. We need to do that with very little instructions. There is really no room in those ages when you think about, can we question values, right? We can't at that age. We need to follow school, otherwise we have consequences. We'll get in trouble. So it becomes very difficult, depending on how the parents will handle these stages. It's very difficult for a child to say, okay, if I don't perform academically, then I'm inferior. If I'm not the best soccer player, then I am inferior. So this is what is happening at that age. If the child doesn't feel supported, if the child isn't reassured that you can't be good at everything, and this happens a lot with neurodivergent children. This is where it hits them really hard. And this is when most of the time you start seeing some more aggressive behaviors, or you get some more phone calls from the schools, is because they cannot fit the industry. They can't all be factory workers doing the same thing over and over and over again. So that creates a lot of challenges for them that will carry on into the adult years. The fifth one is identity versus confusion. So now we're talking about preteens to teens, so 12 to 18 years old. Now they're moving away from having to follow everybody, and they're trying to figure out who they are. They're trying to determine their own identity, but they are still very dependent on what people think of them. They're still very attached to that. So it can create a lot of friction into saying, oh, I know I'm this way. I know I don't believe this, or I know this may not be the best situation for me. But depending on how you handle that as a parent, if you're forcing your values, if you're not open to talking with your child about what they think, if you're not open to learning to know who your child really is and how they identify, then you're just creating a lot of confusion. And then they just won't know who they are. They will follow the masses. They won't think for themselves. They won't question authority. And this is where they can fall victim of a lot of negative influences because they don't have the social maturity to question what they're being asked to do, or to question how people identify them, right? So that is another very big important stage here. And teen years are very hard as a parent because now you're being challenged all the time. But just know that if your child is challenging your values, that's actually a sign that you have a socially mature child, right? So you want to make sure that it stays on a respectful level. If they're starting to disrespect you, that's usually a sign you should kind of take a step back and saying, okay, am I actually supporting my child in their social maturity? Or am I hindering it? Am I blocking it? So that's a hard one. I was saying your child's needs first. You have to take a step back, pride and ego on the side, and you have to say, okay, what is my role here in terms of the conflict that my child needs to resolve? When you're trying to solve all of your child's problems, you are blocking their social maturity because they're not able to figure things out on their own. You are creating a not very well functional adult. So you have to keep that in mind. And this is where it's kind of interesting. Take a step back and look at how where you're sitting in all of this and how your parents helped you through your teen years, or even your school age years. If you weren't doing well academically at school, how did your parents handle that? You know, especially when the report card came in, that had an impact on you in your adult years. So is that what you want to pass down to your children? Okay, keep that in mind. The other one, this is where it gets, now we're dealing in the adult years, so I'm going to fly through those a little quicker, but that'll be more helpful for you to figure out your stuff, so you can help your child later on. So the sixth level is intimacy versus isolation. Now we're talking about 18 to 40 years. So this is a good chunk of the adult years. And so it's intimacy versus isolation. Well, now we're talking about love or any other relationship, because this is social maturity, right? How are you showing up for your partner? How are you showing up for your friends? How are you showing up with your coworkers? So we're talking on every level, not just love. It's not just the person you want to spend the rest of your life with, but how are you showing up for somebody else, right? So that can be quite challenging, especially if you're also involved with somebody who is not socially mature. There will be some challenges there, but are you somebody who actually wants to build somebody up, or are you just looking to take from them and move on to the next person? Or are you the opposite that needs to give because you didn't get through that identity phase of the teen years? You don't know who you are, so you become a people pleaser, and now you're just draining yourself to try to catch up. So that's kind of a very broad description of what that stage is. The seventh stage is, this is another word that's hard for me to say, is generativity versus stagnation. So now we're talking about your life achievement. So it was from 40 years old to 65 years older, your later adult years. The best way I can describe this is, once you retire, where are you at in your life? Do you have your house? Do you have something that you'll be able to pass down? What's your legacy? Basically, that's what it is. Whatever that looks like for you, what is your legacy? Are your children well-balanced individuals? Are you set, or are you still struggling in your life? This was basically will tell you, did you evolve as a person, or are you the same? Are you still acting the same way you did when you were 17 years old? Are you still living by, your last couple of years of high school? There's a lot of adults, and you probably notice this with your friends. There's a lot of them that will still kind of, they haven't evolved since high school. They're still hanging out with the same people. They're still doing the same crazy stuff on the weekend. They're still doing, you see what I mean? So that would be your stagnation. You haven't evolved since your teen years. There was a disconnect at that level. So, but it's just think of it as your legacy. What legacy are you leaving behind now? And the final stage is integrity versus despair. So now we're talking about your ego integrity. Did you have integrity? Did you walk your talk, or did you? Yeah, that's right. I was gonna say walk the talk. So your ego integrity versus despair. So think of it as this is your last years, your last living years, right? So if you if you have some, whatever faith you have, think of it as this is your judgment day, and now you have to face your maker. How are you going to feel? How confident are you with the decision that's going to be made on your soul? So that's what that is. Integrity versus despair. Is your conscious clear so that when you transition, when you pass on to the next level of energy, are you good to go, or are you going to have to start over, basically? So this is a lot of information there, but just to give you an idea, again, Google it. It's very interesting on how you can get your child ready for that. But just remember that the minute your child is born, you're already setting them up for the level of social maturity. So keep that in mind. So how do you develop your child's social skills? I'm going to do this very quickly. They're very, I don't, this is the part I don't like as much because it's so broad and so generic. I'm going to give you some examples that would actually be a bit more interesting. But obviously, you want to encourage them to communicate and communicate properly. Early, because we often leave or allow our children to whine and complain and throw tantrums. I'm not talking about meltdowns here. I'm talking about tantrums. So we need to use words properly. There's a way to communicate with others to be respectful. So you need to encourage that. Don't forget the first 2 years of they're not even speaking yet, and they need to have that down. So you have to start from day one when you're talking to them. You have to teach them to share, of course, how to make friends, to develop empathy. That depends on the child. You have to help them resolve conflicts. You can't just let things be, because it's through the conflicts that you develop your social maturity, right? So if you do everything for them, if you cover up for them, you are stunting, or I don't know what the word is, but you're stopping your child from developing socially. That's on you. Now, ask a question, of course, and you have to give them positive reinforcement. If you want that climate of trust and harmony and active cooperation and peaceful coexistence, it needs to be positive reinforcement. If you're always in the negative, then you're creating the social immature climate of fear, discord, confrontation, and drama. So those are the skills that you need to help develop in your child from the time that they are born. They're not, just remember, when they start school, it's too late. The school can teach them all of those skills, but it won't be natural to them. You have a part in that. And the only way you can do that, this is the hard, this is what I'll leave you with. That means that you have to do those things. You have to encourage positive communication. You have to share. Because we don't always share as adults. You have to resolve conflicts in a proper way. You have to show empathy. Your child will, you have to model the good behavior. That's the only way your child learns. You tell them all about it, but if you're not modeling them, if the adults around them are not modeling that, they will not do it properly. So it is on you, and it's a big responsibility, and that's why parents should know about this. And doesn't matter what kind of conflict you're going through, you need to show up for your child. And by knowing these things, now you can kind of tell where your development, where your maturity stopped. Where are you sitting on those eight stages, right? And work on that. And tell your child, show them how you work. You say, listen, I struggled with this. You don't have to tell them why. You don't have to tell them the whole sad story of your childhood or whatever traumas you've gone through. But just say, I've noticed I need to work on this. So this is how I do it. This is how we do it. So you can show them how they can work through that social maturity on their own, right? We want to develop that autonomy. So this is really an interesting topic. I said I got a little technical on this one, but it is so interesting. I like to help parents so that they can help your child. You cannot take care of your child if you can't take care of yourself. So this is definitely something that as adults we need to work on so that we're able to show it and explain it to our children. It's not something that we're being taught. It's not in the books when it's like that those first, babies for the first 9 months or what to expect when you're expecting all those things. It doesn't really give you that information, but look into it, kind of gauge and see where you're sitting on that scale, Erikson again. Just Google social maturity, social immaturity, and make it a little homework, a little assignment for yourself to see where you're sitting at and how you can show up for your child to help them through that as well. If you have any questions, if you want more information on it, if you want me to go into more depth and for every one of the stages, you can contact me. I am a real person. I will get back to you. I can do Q&As. I can do lives on social media, so we can keep that conversation going. I encourage it very much. The more we talk about it, the easier it gets for us as parents to help and as teachers to help the children develop that social maturity. So I will leave you with that. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe to whichever channel you're listening or watching from. And don't forget to check out the link for the Self-Esteem Doctor Online Academy. I wish you well. Until then, stay safe, stay awesome, and we'll talk soon.